Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Stretford Paddock for another episode of the Paddock Podcast, joined today by Liam and by Patrick. So, we're going to have a little look today at Manchester United's transfer window. Obviously, we're out of transfer window season. People are wondering the word transfer. It's alien to us at this stage. But we thought after the first game of the season, seeing how players have fit into the team, it'd be a good idea to have a look at just how well Manchester United did in the transfer window. Get your comments down below of what you think United could have done better, what they could have improved on in the transfer window. So, lads, I'll start with you. We brought in 3 players. Overall, same as last summer, where a big turnover was needed, everyone was saying. What are your general thoughts about the window?
Really, I felt as though we probably needed closer to 5 or 6 players, which is a lot of players to get in a window. But I felt as though we had that much sort of deadwood and players that needed shifted on, like Matteo Darmian and people like that, but I felt as though we could have maybe done with a few more positions, like maybe a left back, a holding midfielder, with Matic looking a bit on his last legs, and maybe another creative midfielder to take the reliance off Paul Pogba. But you know, that's really what I thought that we needed to do. Maybe even replace Lukaku, because obviously he's gone and that's 25. Well, he didn't score 25.
Main goal threat.
That's a lot of goals going out of the team. But obviously from the opening day, you know, our strikers look up to it so far. You just hope that we can carry it on.
I think for me it was a good window. I know what you're going to say. I'll let you finish. Going into the transfer window, the number one issue was the defence. It was the worst Premier League season defensively we've ever had. And so going into it, the number one thing that we should have sorted out was the defence. We did that effectively by buying Maguire, who was close to, if not our number one choice for centre-back, and bringing in Wan-Bissaka, who was our number one choice for right-back. In doing so, we absolutely revolutionised the back four. And it's going to take time, obviously, and we got lucky at Chelsea not to concede, but we didn't concede. And we would have definitely conceded if we had Smalling and Ashley Young at the back. So, with that in mind, considering that you can't do everything, no team is ever going to be able to do everything they ever want to do. You're not training for FIFA career mode. You can't sell every player out and bring every single player in. So thinking about that, we prioritise the defence, which is absolutely the right decision. Yes, we lack a centre defensive midfielder. Yes, we lack a cam. And yes, we probably lack a right wing. I think getting rid of Lukaku after the sort of the mess that he made of his own volition, basically, that was the right decision. I think Rashford and Martial deserve to be given a long period of time as the main two up front. And sorting out the defence was the first issue, and that was done.
While I agree with you on the subject that improving the defence was priority number one, and I do think the club did do a good job of that, I think that we dropped the ball so heavily on this transfer window. I think that improving the defence I'm not sure if you lads agree, just was not enough. You look at someone like, and I know there's players out there who are Matthijs de Ligt, you know, they are swayed by the option to play Champions League football. But I look at someone like Yuri Tielemans, £35 million. Who was there? He said he wanted to go to Leicester. But I fail to see how United couldn't sway him to come to Old Trafford, where it be money, where it be even European football. I just think that there's something clearly, and it's all about Ollie's vision, and we're going to get onto that a bit later about the long-term ambition and the long-term ideology of where Ollie's going to take the squad. Mm-hmm. But I look at someone like him, I look at someone like Irving Lozano, who's going to Napoli today, I think for something like £40 million. Daniel James was, you know, we thought he'd be a bit part player, and he did obviously get his goal. He played very well when he came on Saturday, or Sunday, I should say. But when you have someone like Irving Lozano with that kind of impact, I think. And the Bruno Fernandes is what we see a lot in the comments. I, I believe a lot of what the journalists are saying, that we were never in for someone like Bruno Fernandes. I think that's Portuguese-driven media drivel. We covered it a lot over the summer, all of us.
That's exactly what we were reporting on Straight for Paddock. We were saying, this is nonsense.
Yeah, like, it's complete nonsense. Like, but I think there was maybe, I think, I'm going to say a lack of ambition, and I may get a bit of flack for that for 80 million with Harry, but spending 80 million on Harry Maguire, but I just don't think it was enough.
Really, something that will be pointed out quite frequently is that we were the Premier League's top spenders, but also in regards to the money that we recoup the players.
Yeah.
You know, our net spend is yet again quite low because we've obviously lost a lot of talent as well as acquiring some. I mean, in terms of transfer targets, there was a few players who you feel as though maybe teams didn't try and go for because they felt as though it'd be tied up by someone else. Like when you think of maybe even someone as easy as Hakim Ziyech.
He just signed a new deal with Ajax anyway.
£25 million release clause, and you think, you thought after the Champions League, everyone would be in for him.
There must be something, like you said, there everyone would be in for someone like him. There must be something, like he must, Ajax must be literally palmed anything, and he must be happy at Ajax. But I understand what you're saying. And available, like, players
Thomas
like that.
Partey had a good release clause as well, about £45 million.
Yeah, for sure. But I think, like, we're almost spoiled a bit when we're thinking about United fans. Like, I don't think United has ever had a transfer window where they buy like five first team players done. I don't think that's ever happened.
No,
I kind of feel like some fans thought that we would enter this transfer window and do that. Instead, what we did was the sensible thing. Instead of just going and buying a Galactico like we've done in previous transfer windows, and every single time we've done that, it's failed, basically, with the exception of, you could say, Paul Pogba, and that the jury is frankly still out on whether it's a success of a career. Not that he's not a good player, because he is a fantastic player, but whether it's whether it was a success purchasing him, the jury's still out on that. But we've abandoned that Galactico policy and gone after a more sensible approach, which involved finding those individual players and purchasing the players that we feel we need to strengthen those areas. And when you compare it to other Premier League teams, I think it's been a very good transfer window. Liverpool didn't bring anybody in. Man City brought in Rodri. That's a very sensible signing, but beyond that, not much.
But do you not think teams didn't bring anyone in like Liverpool and City because they didn't need to? Because if you look at City's midfield, they have so much. Has anyone seen that thing of like that, the strength and depth of City's midfield? It's criminal.
I 100% agree with that point, because teams like Manchester City don't need to bring the players because they have literally stacked their team with that many good players.
In previous windows as well.
Yeah.
In previous windows, it's a sensible way of doing it, but every team, I think, needs to tactically adapt every single season, and not bringing in players is stupid. And I think we take into account Arsenal as well. Like, Arsenal had the other team that you could say had a good transfer window, but then they were sort of a bit bitty here and there. They ended up... Their big problem, what was it? Defence, again, like us. What did they end up doing? They ended up going, oh, no, we haven't got a defender because we brought in Pepe. So they've already added another attacker, a good attacker, to their already top-heavy team. And now what they're going to do, buy David Luiz, a past great. That doesn't fix their main problem, which means they're still going to be leaking goals.
Something that I think United need to learn to do, though, in the transfer window, is to learn when to cut their losses.
Yeah.
When... I mean, we always point about it because of an obvious example. When Man City had their full-backs and they had players that Pep didn't want, they had it all perfectly planned for Clichy, Navas,
Joe Harris,
Zabaleta, I think there was even Nasri in there for a bit.
Even Claudio Bravo after one season.
They had about six players' contracts, all expiring. Military went, goodbye.
Yeah, let them go.
Bought in great players, replaced them, and they knew it would work because they profiled all the players that they wanted, and they're already set. It's like when they played teams like Monaco at the Etihad, and it was a 5-3 in that. I'm pretty sure that at that moment, Man City tied half them players that they wanted in that team.
Yeah.
I'm guessing United are offering, and this is only getting my psyche around it, that United are offering players like, I mean, I saw a stat there the other day. Marcos Rojo has played four or five times for United since he signed his contract extension. And I think the only reason maybe for it is that the club still thinks because these players played for Manchester United that they're actually worth something. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe 10 years ago, that was probably relevant where, you know, if you were part of Manchester United, like that was a title-winning team, you were probably worth 10 to 15 million. You would get a good bit of money.
You'd get a good move better than someone
like
Howard and Phil Neville.
Yeah, exactly. But now it's just not the case. Clubs don't want to go in for someone like... Marcus Rojo, who mm-hmm. couldn't even get into the worst United defense of all time, or, you know, someone like Phil Jones. Phil mm-hmm. Jones is like, and Phil Jones isn't like the worst defender I've seen. I think he's just not consistent, and that's mm-hmm. been the issue. But clubs recognize that if he can't be consistent in a United team defensively, you know, woeful as that, what are they going to do with other
players? Yeah, I'd absolutely agree. But I think, so if you take the batch of renewals that happened right at the beginning of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's tenure, right, so the Phil Jones was renewed, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's that sort of batch of renewals. I think that was taken before Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had been decided he was going to be given the job, and he's been given a bit of rein to decide what's going to happen with the transfer market. I think some stuff was coming out today about how they're going to let basically Damian and Matic leave on freeze, or at least release them at the end of next year. And that's the sensible way to do it, because Matic will have served his time here. He had a great season. He had a couple of mere seasons, and it'll be thank you very much, goodbye. It'll be the same with Damian. It'll be like, you did nothing. Off you pop, sort of thing. And I think we're going to see more of that now, where United learn to cut their losses on players. I think it's very hard to sell players sometimes when we give them overinflated contracts, which is what we've done. So if you take a Marcus Rojo, an Alexis Sanchez, it's the big one, where we've been unable to shift these players because we've given them massive wages. And is it worth sending them out on loan where you still pay 70% of their wages? Probably not, because the extra 30% is nothing to us.
In regards to like Damian, I felt as though he would have gone last summer, but the problem was is with us not getting another left back in, having sold David Blind, and when you look back, he'd probably slot into our team, or he'd probably be thereabouts in our team, and it would have solved a lot of issues. We would have sold Damian had Mourinho not felt as though he couldn't physically get a replacement in.
Yeah,
he felt as though he physically couldn't get a replacement, and I think he kept him. What it sounded like against Damian's will, just so that he had cover, and I'm surprised Damian's still here. I thought he would have gone to an Italian team, because obviously
Juve are apparently in for him.
He seems like he's highly touted and rated in Italy.
Yeah, into Milan's the latest one to go and join Lukaku when his contract expires. But, and this is it, right? We have the defence now. A lot of the problems we've been talking about is the fact that we have players that we've renewed contracts with who are defenders, and it doesn't make sense to renew the contracts because they're deadwood. So now that we have a good defence, that transfer window was all about defence. It's sorted now. Think about next summer transfer window. Then we can go after Sancho. Then we can go after a midfielder. And then not only that, we'll have given internal players
but it all
time, to,
on
prove,
top
time to prove themselves. And this is it. I think this comes into the idea of the long rebuild that we're trying to see Ole Gunnar Solskjaer build in. Okay, say we don't get top four this season because we didn't bring in another central attacking midfielder. The payoff of that is that we've given young players an opportunity, and we've done this transfer window properly. So we didn't go, right, we're going to pay Dybala 350 grand a week to make him come here because we need another creative player. That could have ended very badly and had traits of a Di Maria deal. It wasn't the same, but it had traits and could have been the same thing. We didn't do that. Instead, we've taken a step back. We're going to give young players time. If they don't develop, they don't develop. That's fine. They might do, which is exciting. But next transfer window, we can bring in. Next transfer window, next summer, Cam, right wing. It's that to do a rebuild properly, you've got to do it long. The Real Madrid rebuild doesn't look like it's going to work so far. I might bite my words on that. But they've brought in a bunch of Galacticos. They've brought in a bunch of new players, just smashed them together, and they expect to go and win the Champions League this year. That's not going to happen. It's going to take them a couple seasons to go and do that, if they're going to do that, under Zidane. And I think the way that we're doing it now is better than the way that we've done it before. Because the way we were doing it before, the Galactico policy of basically the Edward Wood, will they have enough Instagram followers policy? It hasn't worked.
But to counteract that argument, like you said, and I do think that youth has to play a massive part this season. I'm really hopeful for the youth as well, but I mean, it is a lot of weight to put on such young players in that race for top four.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to bring in those players next summer that you're talking about, the likes of Sancho, they aren't going to come to United because it is a step back for them if we don't get top four.
Yeah,
the best players in the world want to be playing European football. And at the end of the day, if United don't get European football, what do they have to gain coming to United bar increasing their wage or getting a big paycheck, which is exactly what we don't want? So it's kind of like you're teetering the lines with stuff like that.
We're in a balancing act, aren't we, really? Which is obviously key because we want players who are going to be hungry and have a lot of desire. I remember when we played Wolves last season at home and we drew 1-0. And Mourinho said the Wolves team are fantastic. They fight like mad dogs. And obviously Wolves aren't overall in league standards of where they'll finish on the same level as United. But the thing is, the way they play against the top six teams, you can tell that they're really giving it everything. It makes a huge difference, because you felt sometimes towards the end of the season as though the players didn't really want to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You felt as though it was just like, well, cruise control, finish the season, that'll be it. We'll go for the holiday and we'll come back and try harder, which, you know, it looks like we are trying a lot harder, but I think the fitness also comes into it a lot.
And that's why we have to learn how to, in this rebuild and any rebuild, it needs to rationalise short-term success, i.e. getting top four or Champions League football, so we can attract those big players later on, with the idea of a long-term rebuild, because the long-term has to be essential to what United is trying to do. Because there's no point having short-term success if it isn't sustainable. Mm-hmm. It's that sustainability that enabled us to compete to be the best team over Europe for two decades in the 90s and the 2000s. Mm-hmm. That's the type of success that we need to build again. But you're right, it does need to be rationalised alongside short-term success. So we do need to think about trying to qualify for the Champions League football, so we can bring in Sancho, for example, which seems to be the idea anyway, mm-hmm. Next season.
Yeah, and that probably brings us nicely into the discussion of what we were talking about earlier, is like the long-term vision or objective of the club or whatever, and the calibre of players and probably the profile of players that will be brought in. I mean, it all does depend on where we finish this season, but question for you lads is that, you know, missing out on Champions League football, which is a possibility, and I don't want to, we don't really want to touch on it too much, but where could we go from there? Should we not get Champions League football? What's the plan B? I mean, it's kind of like...
You sort of feel as though it's Champions League or bust.
Yeah, it really is this season.
That's the way you feel about it. I guess if... I don't know what is the best route at this moment in time, whether we... Because I'd say top four obviously looks like it's a good chance.
Yeah,
like,
after the performance on Sunday,
against Chelsea, fantastic. You literally feel as though it's going to be head-to-head, us against Arsenal, us against... If someone's caught napping, like Spurs or something like that, you feel as though it's going to be down to that. But also, I do think, as much as it is a hindrance to your season at times, with fixture congestion,
I think stay
in the Europa League, make sure you're there in around March time.
Absolutely.
And just see how far you can go in that, because you want to have two options like we did in 16-17. I think Mourinho said top four in Europa League is what United should be aiming for.
I
don't disagree.
I think getting Champions League would be an absolutely massive, massive achievement. And it would be a massive step for the team, and it would allow us to bring in your Sanchos. We keep on going on about for some reason, but your Sancho-esque players.
He is the profile player that we want. He wants to come to the club, allegedly, but we're just Champions League football is the only
exactly.
Hindrance.
So that would be a massive thing. But also, I think, say we don't, where do we go from there? Say we win a League Cup or FA Cup, but we don't qualify for the Champions League. I think at that point, you have to, if we can't attract players without paying them stupid amounts of money because they don't want to be there, you have to just go youth at that point. If that happens, which I don't think it will, you would have to hope and take a risk on youth. It's what we've done in the past. And I think it's what we're going to do for bits of this season. We're going to see youth integrated. And it has to be done well, as I said, to rationalise having some short-term success with having a long-term future for the club. Because honestly, like, the club's future has looked very, very, very bleak over the past few years.
I mean, we were talking about Europa League there. I think it'll be very interesting because you mentioned, Liam, the 16-17 season, and we're talking about giving youth a chance. I mean, in the 16-17 season, it wasn't really second-string teams playing in the Europa League, if I can remember. Because remember, we bottled the first game away to Feyenoord, didn't we, in the opening game. And it was almost like playing catch-up from there, so we couldn't risk...
We have Fenerbahce away.
Fenerbahce, they dropped that as
we
well.
We almost went out, didn't we?
Near enough. You lose two games in the group stage, you're very much at risk
of
going out.
Looking over your shoulder, really, aren't you?
And now we're at the stage now where it would be interesting to see. I do think Ollie is more, as we said, youth-focused than Jose. And I think Jose actually got a lot of flack. We all thought he was going to come in and not play the youth. He gave Rashford his first season.
He played Rashford more than he did
any other player. But this season... You know, you hope the youth can get it done in those tricky away games in Armenia or whatever. Because if not, we could be a case on the hands where we're going to have to play the starting players in these games where we shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's my big fear going into this season, that maybe it's a lot of expectation on a lot of young players too quickly and a lot of weight to carry at such a big club.
Something that I found a bit strange in, like, if we go back to last season, and when we felt the club was in a really bleak state, just before Jose got sacked, you're sort of looking around and you're thinking, who's going to be the next young player to come through? You honestly felt as though it was almost cut off at that stage, like, because we'd already seen McTominay. But yeah. McTominay was getting played like literally everywhere apart from his actual position.
Yeah.
At that point,
he was centre back
in a back three against Southampton with like Jones and Matic, which is absolutely, you know, horrendous to watch.
Yeah, it kind of shouldn't be a surprise we finished sixth when you think about that.
No, and it's like Newcastle at home 2-0 down in about 15 minutes or whatever against bottom of the table, and you're sitting like, what's going on?
It can't get any worse.
You felt as though you'd seen all these clips of like some Mason Greenwood and that, like absolutely doing the rounds on Twitter.
Yeah.
But you sort of sat there and thought, you thought he's going to get loaned out to somewhere like Reading if he's not careful with our current manager.
Yeah.
He might not achieve what he wants to.
But there's another reason why I'm probably the only reason why I'm excited about this season. Is because not only are we playing exciting football, more exciting football than we have in a long time, we are going to be playing youth. And we're going to be seeing that youth integrated. And we spoke about it on The Brew yesterday about how, like, the batch of youth players that are coming through now, that came through a year before, if you include Rashford in that, you include people who are a few years away from doing that, it's exciting, very exciting.
Yeah.
It's the closest we've ever had to having a Class 92-esque thing where all of these players who all have genuine potential, if they're nurtured right, they could be real players and they could become first team players. And that's what I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see them integrated over the next couple of seasons and how that goes and hopefully into the future. And I think the Europa League is a great opportunity for them to really make their mark.
Yeah.
If, let's say we go, the Europa League is a meh competition.
I said this last season, it's a meh competition unless you're in the final
absolutely.
And then it's a big deal.
And what I was going to say is, but if we win the Europa League, With a very youth-inspired side, I'll be all over that. I'll be celebrating that because I'll know that our future's in good hands.
There's one competition that's kind of flown below the radar, which I think will hold a massive importance this season, and it's the Checker Trade Trophy. And I know not for United, you know, first team, obviously, but I think it's a big statement of intent. Mm-hmm. Not having the youth playing in the Premier League 2, which just looks a complete bollocks competition.
It is
a bona fide, glorified, like, just reserve league. Mm-hmm. You know, players don't progress if they're playing reserve players. Mm-hmm. I think throwing...
Especially when they're playing with Rojo.
Yeah, Rojo as well. Like, but, you know, I think throwing these kids into the The Checker Trade Trophy. I was talking earlier about the young lad from Monaco, Hannibal Mejbrez. I don't think he's joining this season. It might be next season. But throwing young lads like that who are 16, 17 in a competitive environment against the likes of, you know, I don't know, Rotherham, who they beat 2-0 last week. I think that is a statement of where the club is going, that they are going to focus on giving youth the chance and letting them, instead of sending them out on loan where they will probably dwindle playing, would not progress playing in, you know, League One for a whole season.
It has connotations of the Class of 92 winning and the FA Youth Cup, where everybody says that's where everybody knew that these guys
winning the Checker Trade Trophy or something like that.
I mean, it'd be nice. Yeah. Obviously, you know, it's not a major competition. It's nothing. It sucks. I do think it sucks for the lower league teams. It's a crap competition for them, and now they've got to compete with under 23s as well. Diminishes it more than for them. From our Premier League club perspective, it's a great opportunity for them to learn a different style of football, to learn how to compete with big 30-year-old men who are going to push you around.
Yeah, exactly.
Learning how to play man football is important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It certainly weathers like the players up. I mean, when you think that last season Rotherham went down in the Championship by, I think, about a point.
Yeah, yeah. Like, narrow margins.
Yeah, really, really narrow margins. So essentially you could say that we were playing one of the top contenders from League One who could more or less be stated as Championship standard, you know. That was a level we were up against, and our players looked quite comfortable in it. And I think the thing is, what you feel now with our youth teams and our younger ages is that they're going to be mirroring what a first team are doing, every single like tactical aspect.
I mean, they've trained with the first team, most of them now.
Whereas you see, like, when we had like Mourinho, it was like Kieran McKenna, absolute all-out attack, absolute gung-ho, just trying to score goals left, right and centre. And then when they step into the first team, we're like, oh, we're a bit more restricted.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I'm also excited to... At a transfer window, we didn't bring in necessarily. Like, I wanted imagine if we brought in a Sancho, that'd been amazing. But in the sense, the fact that we didn't bring in, say, Dybala, who didn't really want to come for a load of money. Another good side of that is now we're going to have to play a youth player instead of having played Martial in that FA, in an FA Cup tie, because he's first, because he's playing week in, week out. You rest him and you play Chong and you play Greenwood and you play Gomez, who were the big three, aren't they? Levitt and Garner coming through as well. I'm excited because of that, and I'm happy that we didn't try and replace those players basically before they'd even been given a chance. Yep. See what happens. It might be that they're not good enough, some of them. It might be that they are, and until we take a risk on them, we're not going to know.
Yeah, and I mean, I said before the game on Sunday that that was going to be a massive game for connotations for our season, because we lose at home to Chelsea.
The sentiment is gone.
Yeah, the sentiment's gone, all that, and it's already backs against the wall, but obviously the scoreline couldn't have gone any better. Yeah. But I do think this season really is, as we said, make or break with regards to the future of investment and bringing in players. But, you know,
if we hadn't have picked up a result against Chelsea, you would have been sat there thinking,
where do we go from
here? Here we go again.
And Wolves away on Monday.
It's the same as a back.
And Wolves away is a tough game.
I think something that really does help the players is the always attitude of being really, really positive and feeling as though he believes in all of them. Yeah. Because there was nothing more satisfying, in a way, than when we score the winner of, well, to make it 3-1 in Paris.
Yeah.
And then you see all the players sprint over, and it's people who we've just thrown on in, like, youth players in desperation to try and get a goal, like Chong and Greenwood, and then there's, like, obviously McTominay, who was already playing. And, you know, at the start of the season, like, Mourinho, when he didn't get his own way, you felt as though he was making decisions that weren't in the best interest of the club. And he was like, oh, I don't really want to play with youth players. And then he was doing stuff like, we're losing at Anfield, and Paul Pogba gets up and is like, right, I'm going to come on because we need to score a goal. And Mourinho just tell him to sit back down on the bench. And you're like, just started choosing people who he likes and not. But I think the manager's attitude, Solskjaer, I think it really does make a big difference, because you could see straight away the players were absolutely delighted to play under him. And we went on such a crazy run. We couldn't have believed it at the start, because, you know, but I think something that people will hopefully not get too bogged down in, I'm quite sick of hearing, oh, it's Cardiff's manager. We've got him relegated and all of this. It's like, well,
it's an entirely different situation. And also the Cardiff situation thing was, that was a crap time for Cardiff Football Club, because there's the whole debate about the manager, the owner wanted to change the red shirt, the blue shirt. There's a lot of stuff going on there, which meant that no matter who was in charge, Cardiff were going down. End of. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer happened to be in charge at the time, and it's a different set of circumstances.
It's like Zidane wasn't very good at Real Madrid Castilla. It's like you can say
he's not very good at Real Madrid right now.
Well, we're not going to guarantee Ollie's going to go on to win like four Champions League series, but
obviously not been that fantageous. We're not Portuguese media or anything like that, but I mean, literally, it's like
we're not going to get sponsored by the Portuguese media now. What are you doing?
Anyway, guys,
sponsors if you want.
Anyway, guys, that's all from us here today. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe. Drop your recommendations for the next podcast down below. We will be doing a watch along of the Wolves game on Monday. Team news, reviews, all that good stuff, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.